It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I got a piece of candy in my mouth. Heart's beating fast. Exciting time ahead of us. Excited about the trip that we're going to take tomorrow. Anxious for all of you to get here, to get this thing done. And kind of lighthearted, actually. Kind of lighthearted this morning. Got my buddy Mark Harrington's going to join us here. And we're just going to have kind of a give and take with you all this morning. A kind of a flea flicker Thursday, although that's not really what it is. Going to be far, far deeper than that. I came across some information today I shared with the guys who are in the pre-show that just staggers me. I'm not going to show it to you now. Maybe I'll show it to you on Monday or Tuesday, some stuff. Just, man, all you got to do is connect the dots. Hey, let me ask you something. Are you guys going to, if there weren't any polls, would you think Joe Biden was winning? If you didn't have the polls constantly telling you that he was ahead, would anybody in their right mind ever think that Joe Biden is going to win this election? So they plant all kinds of doubt. See, there's something nefarious, something really, 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 really big going on. And I was interested to see, I can't remember who it was. I came across an article this morning I was reading that is talking about the same thing that we've been talking about here for quite a while, the idea that we are living in a culture and a society based totally on lies. It's all lies. It's all lie based, folks. You take any great issue of today and you tell me if it's based on the truth or whether it's based on a lie. I don't care what it is. We're going to dive into some of the stuff with Mark, because Mark's one of the really deep thinkers. Mark and I go back 20 years. I don't know. I credit Mark Harrington for actually teaching me how to do ministry. I did my first ever monthly newsletter in Mark Harrington's basement. He showed me how to do a
He's locked up. I don't hear the coach anymore.
He's frozen.
Yeah, he's back. Is he? You lost coach, but you have me. Okay, well. The compliment isn't deserved. In fact, when I met Coach, the first time I met him was I interviewed him on the radio. I was way back when in the late 90s, I was hosting a radio program at WCVO back in the day, but WCVO, Central Ohio radio station. And it was right after Coach Dave, had that battle with the ACLU because he prayed with his football team. I hadn't met him, never met him in person, but I had him on the radio show. I had no idea who this guy was, and oh, man, I tell you what, he lit it up, and I thought from there forward, I said, I got to get to know this guy because he's the real deal. So, and we've had a friendship ever since, now some 21 years, something like that. So Coach is one of the guys that I could count basically on one hand. There aren't many who would never betray me, would never, forsake me in that. He'd always have my back. You know, you can always count on the coach for that. And that's why I love the guy, because there aren't a whole lot of people like that out there. They've got their own agenda going on. Even though they might be doing right things, they got their own agenda. and they're trying to advance that. And sometimes that gets in the way of friendships and relationships, but not with Coach Dave. He's been always at the top, top of the list as far as it goes. So,
well, thanks, Mark. Hey, listen, I'm back in. I think I'm back in with audio.
There you are.
$1 million studio. Can y'all hear me? Y'all hearing me? Okay.
Yep. Okay. I hear you.
Well, we'll get the video rolling here the best we can. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the point I Mark, you know, Mark and I took turns patting each other on the back there, literally. But the truth of the matter is, Mark is responsible for. Can you believe, my friends, that you can run? I've run past Assault Ministries, Coach Dave Live, off of donations of people just like you. For 20 years. Mark told me that was, Mark encouraged me that we could do it. You know, I'd walked away from teaching and coaching. I didn't have any, we were poor. And Mark said, just started out, and he said, it'll be the $25 and the $50 donations that'll build your ministry. And here we are 20 some years later. And appreciate, I don't get to say it enough. Appreciate all of you out there who stand with us and support us monthly, because it does in fact make a difference. And you know, listen, I always tell everybody this: if you find a ministry that's doing stuff better than what we're doing, go for it. Now I lost it again. I'm about ready to go on my, okay. Cause if it happens again, I'm going to go on my phone. I am so tired of, is anybody tired of internet censorship other than me? Now, I don't know if that's what's going on, but I am so freaking tired of people telling me what I can say and what I can't say and what's politically correct.
No, I lost him again. Really? Well, you know, yeah, well, I've been telling my friends for 5 years at least that if you're building your ministry on the future of your relationship with Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or whatever, I got news for you. It ain't going to last very much longer, because they're not even hiding it anymore. They're out to shut down opposition to the left, to the Marxist, progressive, hard left, and groups like ourselves and Coach Dave are not long for those platforms. So something's got to happen. You know, we've got to come up with some kind of alternative to them, or else, you know, we won't be able to use technology and that kind of thing to reach people. So there are ministries that invest millions of dollars in social media and are begging at the table of Twitter and Facebook. And I'm going to tell you this, we're seeing it now. You know, it's happening, and the time is now to move on, because these platforms aren't going to be long for us. They don't care about us. They got billions of dollars coming in from all over the world. They don't care. They're not going to worry about pro-life ministries. So that's why we've always focused on the public square, the tried and true way to reach people, which is right in the public square, on the sidewalks, in the public square of your cities, on college campuses, and so forth, because it isn't going to be long where we won't be able to use these types of mediums. We have to create our own. And so that's why I pivoted now to Parler. We're using Parler. We had one of our videos censored a couple of weeks ago that showed twins who died prematurely in a hospital here in Columbus, Riverside Hospital, that was captured on video, and we posted on Facebook, and Facebook took it down. Then we posted it on YouTube, and YouTube took it down, put it on Twitter. They took it down. So we just said, well, you know, you can't fight this, because they don't tell you why. And if they say you can't put it up, you're at their mercy. So we put it on Parler, which is run by Dan Bongino. I don't know if you know him, but you know, there are alternative platforms that we got to start using. So I completely agree with the coach on that. We've been traveling all over the United States, mostly the Midwest and these key battlegrounds. I know Coach is going to want to talk about this today, but these key battleground states like Ohio and Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, North Carolina, with our we call it Vote Anti-Abortion. project, you know, because as a 501c3, we got to be careful, even though I don't like saying this, but we're nonpartisan in that we don't take, as far as a group, we don't take a position on candidates. I, as an individual, can, of course, and do. But so we've been flying these tow banners, and I don't know if you have that video. You could play that for them. This is we fly these tow banners over these big cities. These banners are 50 by 100. They have the word, the words "vote anti-abortion" on them, with the picture of an aborted baby, 15-week aborted baby. And we also fly another banner that says "Unborn Black Lives Matter." Unborn Black Lives Matter because, as we all know, the Black Lives Matter movement is not about black lives. In fact, their platform is Marxist. And they support the killing of unborn babies, and they totally neglect all the African-American children that are being killed across America. You know, African-Americans compose about 13% of the American population, but account for 38% of all abortions, yet they don't want to be talking about that. So it's not about black lives. It's about a progressive, leftist, hard left agenda. And so we're exposing them with these tow banners and some of the flyers that we've been handing out at college campuses and so forth, just kind of juxtaposing the number of African Americans that have been killed by, you know, police, so to speak, if you will, which is about 14 last year, 2019. To 250,000 African American babies that were killed last year by abortion. And we all know that Planned Parenthood sets up their chop shops, their abortion centers, in minority neighborhoods, and are following after their founder, Margaret Sanger, who believed that African Americans were human weeds that need to be exterminated. And so, you know, they're just basically fulfilling her vision. And, you know, there's been some movement. They've had to take the name Margaret Sanger off of the Margaret Sanger Center in New York City, but they're not about to throw her under the bus. So we've been exposing the Black Lives Matter movement, as you see here. Then these are the flyers that we hand out. We go door to door with these. We hand these out on campus. We're down at the early voting center today in Columbus, which I call the early fraud center. You know, it's where I used to think that was actually fraud, but now, of course, now we see the mail-in voting, which is probably far worse. But we're handing these out all over the country, you know, again, exposing Black Lives Matter, the movement, not the sentiment, because we're all for Black Lives, aren't we? So anyway, that's kind of what we've been up to, and we're, you know, sprinting to the finish line here and trying to get to November 3rd. So we'll be in Ohio today. We'll be in Toledo, and then we're going to finish off in Pittsburgh and Scranton. Scranton, the hometown, or at least it supposedly is, the hometown of Joe Biden. So we're going to be finishing there on November 3rd. So that's what we've been up to. Vote anti-abortion, unborn Black Lives Matter, and just sprinting towards the finish line, trying to get the pro-life anti-abortion vote to the polls on November 3rd.
Well, Mark, I just wanted to say that, you know, I do appreciate you and, you know, the example that you're setting. You bring a lot of young people into your house and through your operation there, and you train with boots on the ground, and it really builds the courage with them. And then they're able to reach out to their own group, you know, so to speak, their own age group, and you know, and discuss things. So I think that's a fantastic job, Mark.
No, appreciate that. I left CBR, Center for Bioethical Reform, in 2011. So I've been at this about almost 25 years. And the vision we had, like you say, is to raise up that next generation of leaders. That's the goal that we have. And we've built a pretty good, tight group here. That's our goal because, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I don't know if anybody on this call is getting any younger. You know, we want to leave a legacy behind us. We want to leave a legacy, meaning, you know, obviously people that we've helped to disciple in the work. So Lord's been good to us.
Well, the key to it, Mark, is you're faithful and you're obedient. You just keep on going no matter what. And that's the thing. Say, if you're not doing it, say, who else is doing what you're doing? I just don't see anyone else out there, you know, that's, you know, focusing basically youth oriented. That's one thing that's what I appreciate about your ministry.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah, we got some good folks. We don't have a whole lot, as you well know. the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. We don't have a whole lot of people lining up to do what we do, but the ones that we do are the real deal.
Hey, Mark, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, whenever I've been at a clinic where Created Equal was, all of the young people stood with their faces toward the clinic like witnesses. I don't know if that's something that you train them to do, but it's striking to me. I'm sure they're in prayer, and I've seen their actions. I know their hearts, but they stand with their face toward the clinic as witnesses. Is that valid or just something I made up in my head?
No, we're on guard. I mean, we're there to be, on guard. So we're not there to look at our phones or hang around and chit chat. I mean, we know what's going on inside that building. So we're vigilant. We know everybody that goes inside needs to hear from us. In fact, this is interesting. Yesterday we did the overpass, as we often do, what we call Operation Overpass. We take these big banners out and put them on the walk bridges and the overpasses in major cities. And we were in Dayton, Ohio. And we've trained our people to, you can stand on the overpass to face the traffic and just, stand at attention virtually, right? Because the unborn deserve that. They deserve that. We could just hang out, look on our phones, sit down and let the pictures do the talking. But I think it's a strong witness when you have a bunch of young people standing there respectfully at attention, taking their work seriously. Powerful witness. So,
hey, Mark, I think I'm in here audio wise. I don't know what's going on with my internet here. Mike and Jared are working to get us back on. I don't know if you spoke.
Oh, I see you.
Yeah, I don't know if you spoke yet, Mark, about going to the early voting center. I want you to talk a little bit more about that, because you took me there 4 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever, maybe it was 8 years ago when Obama was running, and Mark, we would stand outside that, that early voting center. You always said it was a good place to go be a pro-life witness because there were so many people standing in line. But the staggering thing that I saw, Mark, and I don't know if it's still going on right now, is the cheating that's going on. The busloads of people who are literally bussed in one bus after another, they get off. A lot of them are Muslims. They get off of the bus. They go in. Who knows what's going on there, right, Mark? This is a Democrat controlled city. In the state of Ohio, we have 30 days, folks, 30 days to vote. And so it's possible that through ballot harvesting and other things like that, Mark, that they literally are transporting some people from Columbus today to Toledo tomorrow to Mansfield the next day. And they have a list of registered voters who either are not going to go to the polls, are deceased, are fraudulent, and then they send people in to vote in the name of that. Am I making that up, Mark?
Well, I don't think so, Dave. I mean, we were there yesterday. We've been there all week. The lines, by the way, the lines are massive. They're wrapping around the building several times. It's crazy. And, of course, in Franklin County, this is a blue county like any other. Most major cities are blue. So, most of them are Democrats. It's hard to take in, actually, because you know what they're doing. That's number one. We stand there with our abortion photos and tell people you can't vote Democrat. This is what it stands for, et cetera, right? But you're right. I mean, they're being brought in from all over. Who knows where they're coming from? I have no idea.
30 days to vote. Mark, you remember when they had Election Day? Remember when they had Election Day and everybody who wanted to vote showed up and voted on Election Day? And now it's 30 days. In fact, we're seeing they're not going to count some of the votes till 9 days after the election. Pardon me a second. What in the hell is going on, Mark?
Well, I think the worst thing right now is the mail-in voting. As you say, I mean, the unsolicited mail-in voting. It's one thing to be a solicitor. You get an absentee application, you fill it out, they send it back to you, they verify it, you mail it in. You can actually go online and say, oh, they got my vote. I mean, I'm not totally, I'm not so much against that. I still think you need to vote in person. But now they're sending out unsolicited mail. That is, you don't even have to ask for a ballot, and they send it to your house. You can give it to your grandfather or whoever doesn't even register to vote, fill it in, send it in. There's going to be just massive fraud. This election's just blown the roof on it all.
So, Mark, here's what I did a Facebook meme today. If there were no polls and they weren't telling you every day who was ahead, there would be no doubt who's ahead. We can see, right? You can trust your eyes. You can see.
Yeah, there is absolutely no doubt.
Yeah, but it's being set up for challenging afterwards. They didn't count all the ballots. They cheated with the post office. They're trying to do anything they can do to invalidate the election. That's when we talk voter fraud, Mark. That's what's going on. I've received in the mail ballots. My wife's received mails. Ballots in the mail. What if you just throw, like I did? Well, no, I didn't. But what if people just throw it in the trash? They just throw their ballot in the trash, and then somebody comes along at our post office. I can get right in the trash. I can take those ballots right out of the trash. I can fill them out.
Well, in some states, they're not even requiring the signature match.
Unbelievable.
I mean, seriously, as you say, there's going to be serious fraud on election day, and there some days after. The polls to me, like you, Dave, I don't follow them. But when I do, they're meant to discourage us.
That's too. Right.
I mean, if you look at the headline of Drudge, it says Biden up 17. I mean, who in the world thinks that's true? Nobody. But you walk away thinking, geez, this is depressing. Trump's
that's
gonna
right.
Win.
That's
you
right.
know, and then you get, you know, you start feeling down and stuff. I stopped looking at the polls. I can't take it anymore. They aren't accurate, number one. They're meant to discourage and, as you say, set up for a challenge. If Trump wins, even if he wins in a landslide, they're gonna delay the final out.
Okay, Mark. Listen, man, here's why we got you on there. You are, in my opinion, the abortion guru. How long have you been doing this, Mark?
What a title. 25 years.
25 years. And abortion's been legal how long, Mark?
Too long.
1973. Yeah. So you do the math. Been Wait, long man. Enough, hasn't it? Been long enough. But you've been in it a long, long time, Mark. As we look across the spectrum, we see Amy Coney Barrett's now in there. Yada 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 yada. Mark, is it false hope that the church is depending and hoping that the Supreme Court is going to rescue the unborn babies? Is that folly, Mark? You've been at it 25
years. That's a good question. Yeah, well, listen, when I got in, I figured
Hang on a second, Mark, because it was a Republican Supreme Court that gave us Roe versus Wade. It was a Republican Supreme Court. Go ahead.
Well, I've been in it 25 years, Coach, and I honestly, when I got in, I thought this will be over in a year. You know, people, obviously, we're not going to kill our babies, really. Are we really going to do that? You know, once we tell people what it looks like, show them the pictures, they'll be persuaded. Well, boy, was I wrong. Now we're, 47 years in. And, you know, we put all our eggs in one basket. That's Roe v. Wade, trying to change the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, obviously. We've got Trump in there, and he put three good, I think, fairly good justices. We don't know about two of them. I think Barrett's the best, by the way, of his picks. I don't think we give up on the Supreme Court, but I don't think we should look to it as, you know, the savior that somehow is going to bring about the collapse of abortion and the Roe versus Wade. I mean, just realistically, if you look at the math, we only have one justice that's clearly anti-Roe. That's Clarence Thomas. Alito looks like he would. The other two that are new, who knows? They're and Roberts is gone. So we have Barrett maybe, if we're lucky. So we could have a 5-4 anti-Roe, but the truth of the matter is Chief Justice Roberts kind of runs the show. And he ain't going to let that happen, man. He's already been clear about it. He cares more about the status
and
the reputation. Yeah, he cares about the reputation and the stability of the court more than he does justice.
Yeah, man.
So I'm not trying to throw cold water on it. I cried the other night watching that that swearing-in center ceremony with Barrett. It was awesome. Hey, I mean, all that's good and right about America was on display that night. Trump there with his speech, Clarence Thomas giving the oath. And Barrett taking the oath.
So, Mark, those are the lies that we're fighting against, though, right? Because the mainstream media will say Clarence Thomas, Amy Coney Barrett, they are far, far radical, far out there. When the truth is, at the worst, abortion is a 50-50 issue, isn't it, Mark? in America today. It's 50-50. Absolutely. Probably if it really got down to, if we really had an opportunity to make the argument, it's not 50-50. Most people would hold the position that, hey, I personally would never do it. I believe it's wrong. But who am I to tell someone else what they can do? So Clarence Thomas and Amy Coney Barrett have to hide the fact that they're Christian and pro-life, and the media calls them radical. And Mark, we buy it, don't we? They're just like the people you go to church with. They're just exactly. like your neighbors, right? Yeah. They're not radicals. The radicals are the guys with green hair and earrings in their nose and breaking windows in downtown Columbus. Those are peaceful. Amy Coney Barrett is radical. Folks, you see the war that we're fighting against. Thoughts on that, Mark?
Coach?
Yes,
Coach?
Jack.
Then why are we depending upon the least effective branch of government, Department of Government? It's not law. It's an opinion. Why don't we stick with law and get away from the Roe versus Wade nonsense?
Mark, what do you think?
Amen.
I would say everybody in here agrees with that. Mark,
I agree with it, too. Here's the thing. I don't think we can put all our eggs in one basket. I think we need to work every possible angle we can and fire on all cylinders. That means we don't want to give over the presidency in the U.S. Supreme Court to the Marxists. And that's what would happen if we just abandon Roe v. Wade and abandon overturning it. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to take over. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court has an oversized role in American government, politics, society. And, you know, we just can't give up that ground. I'm not putting my hope in overturning Roe, but I'm also not going to cede that ground. Mm-hmm. So we got to fight. Hey, Mark, we got to fight on all battle fronts. Wherever the enemy's raising his ugly head, we got to be there. Okay, I'm not looking to Roe v. Wade to be overturned.
Mark, you know, speaking to Jack's point for a minute, now the judicial branch is supposed to be the least should be the least powerful. Unfortunately, exactly right. We the people have been so lazy, we've allowed it to become the most powerful because they've assumed for themselves the jobs of the other two branches.
Agreed.
Let me tell you what's going to happen here, guys. As soon as the Supreme Court becomes really conservative, there will suddenly be an epiphany that it is the least effective branch of government. And the legislature, the Dems, will destroy the Supreme Court because we've been fighting the wrong direction. We have to stick
Jack,
with the law.
Point. Hey, Jack, Mark, that's a great point. Hey, Mark, listen, you've been at it a long time, bro. Long time. Yeah. Do you think, you know, we've heard this accusation, complaint, whatever you want to call it. Mark, do you really think that the Republican Party truly wants to end abortion, or do they see it as a wedge issue that they want to hang on to? That a lot of voters like me, if abortion was not an issue, if abortion was eliminated, I might start looking at different issues by which I'm going to cast my vote. But where we are in America right now, we have a lot of pro-life Republicans who are not going to vote anything but pro-life. And until pro-life is until abortion is eliminated, that's how they're going to vote. As a result, then, does that mean that the Republican Party understands that? And the last thing they want is to lose that wedge issue.
No, I agree. I don't think most of them care. I don't know if even President Trump, I don't even know if that's a core issue for him. But here's the thing. He knows who his friends are. Mm. He knows what he needs to do to keep stay in the presidency. So we only have one political party that can be a vehicle right now to bring about the abolishing of abortion. You got to be working within that party and raising up those outside the party will challenge it. In the state of Ohio, it took us 8 years to get the heartbeat bill done. It's not going to happen overnight. We got to be working the state legislatures to ban abortion and say, we defy Roe v. Wade. We don't recognize it as law, but we're not going to give up that ground either. We shouldn't give up that ground. There's no reason we should. Just think if Hillary were in right now, what it would look like. We would have a generation of the Supreme Court's gone without Trump. So we don't want to give that ground up, but we don't want to put our eggs in that basket. We got to be fighting at the state level, state legislatures, introducing anti-abortion legislation, abortion bans to outlaw abortion, and look at the Supreme Court and say, we don't recognize Roe versus Wade. I've been doing that for 20 years. It's hard to get people behind it because the Republican Party, for the most part, really doesn't want to outlaw abortion.
Let's tell the truth here, Mark. National right to life, they don't really want to outlaw it either. They want to legislate it. Because if national right to if abortion is recriminalized, there's no need for right to life, right?
It used to be they'd say, well, you know, Supreme Court, we're not ready. The Supreme Court, we don't have the numbers yet. Well, we have the numbers now. What do you want? What are you waiting for? And now I'm asking them and others, I'm saying, okay, what's the strategy now? Are we going to put up a bill that's going to directly challenge Roe versus Wade? Are we going to keep playing this game? I said, if we're not going to seize the moment now to overturn Roe, we never will. And so, I'm, you know, kind of calling their bluff.
Mark, one of the things that Mark does, because I wasn't in here at the beginning, we had technical problems. I don't want to repeat some of the things that Mark's already spoken about, but I think it's critically important that we understand that Mark Harrington's ministry, Created Equal, its main goal is putting the images of dead unborn babies in front of the American public. That is, Mark, that's one of your primary things that you do. You fly those banners, you do overpasses, you are constantly putting the images of babies, dead, dismembered babies, out in public view, trying to change the conscience of America. But Mark, there are those within the pro-life movement that say, that's awful. You are hurting the cause. How would you address that, Mark?
Well, they're fewer and fewer, Dave. We don't see the opposition we used to see. I mean, it's not what it used to be. It's just not as fierce. When I began doing this, almost everybody was against this. Now people aren't. They agree. They'll say, oh, we know it works. They just don't want to do it, you know, because they know that's going to cost something to stand in front of one of these aborted baby images. They don't want to lose their friends, their reputation. They think that they need to be nice, to be effective, all those things. But they aren't fighting us anymore. They really aren't.
Mark, I remember when I went with you to the March for Life, which you go all the time, and you put up the big billboard, the Jumbotron.
Right.
And as the people were walking in the parade, you were along the parade route with this huge, huge TV in the air, blasting out images of these aborted babies. And I'll never forget what you told me, Mark. I never forgot it. You said the March for Life is the only parade in America where the victims are not represented, right?
It's true.
We don't represent the victims. And so I would go there, Mark, and I would watch. I'll never forget it, man. We were standing there on is a Constitution Avenue, whatever. We're standing there, and that big Jumbotron's playing. And you would watch the people in the March for Life marching down that road. And, Mark, they would look up, and they would see the images of the unborn babies, and many of them would start to weep. Some would turn their eyes away from them. But the idea that images don't work, dude, that has got to be the greatest lie ever told in the pro-life movement.
Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about your relationship and what is your take on Tom Hoefling and his pro-life efforts?
Tom is running for president.
Yeah.
He does. He does every 4 years on some kind of obscure party somewhere.
Well, let me ask you a question in a better way, Mark, because thanks, Larry, for prompting this. Mark, what would you say to the religiously pure who would say, my vote is far too holy and righteous to cast it for a man who has no respect? You know the story, right? I'm too righteous. I can't vote for Donald Trump. Tom Hoefling is getting those votes. Tom Hoefling is getting those votes. And people right now are saying, Tom who? They've never even heard of him. God bless him. He has no chance of winning. But people who want to assuage their consciences said, I can't vote for Donald Trump. I can't vote for Joe Biden. I'm going to vote for Tom Hoefling. And at least my conscience is clear. How do you respond to that, Mark?
Well, let me this is something I posted on Facebook. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read it. This is something I posted, all right? And this will answer your question. It's July of 1860. You're a Christian slave buried deep in the bowels of a ship destined for Savannah, where, if you survive the journey, you'll be auctioned to the highest bidder. The presidential election's coming up. What do you pray your fellow Christians will do on election day? Option one, vote for the candidate and party that promotes slavery wholesale, because slavery isn't the only issue, and the candidate and his party are good on other topics that matter. In other words, vote for Biden. Option two, vote for the candidate and party that will limit the evil of slavery, even though the candidate himself is rude and arrogant. And number three, refuse to support either candidate, especially the ignorant arrogant one, because the character of the candidate matters as much or more than his policies.
Wow.
Seriously, we've got a binary choice. I'm not saying don't vote for Tom Hoffman if you want to. You got to answer to God for your vote, just like anything else you do, any other decisions, choices you make in life, you have to answer to God. So I don't want to get in on that. But when people say they cannot vote for Donald Trump and they'll vote for Biden, we can at least be clear on that one, I hope.
Yeah.
But yet I have people, listen, I am absolutely at my limit of evangelicals who claim Christ and say that they're walking Jesus lovers and they're going to vote for Biden. And it just blows. I can't take it anymore, Coach. We're seeing more of that this time, just because they don't like, you know, his tweets or whatever. But so we can clearly be clear on that one. The one where we can't vote for Trump, I can at least have a debate about that. But I think it's absolutely clear. You got to limit evil as much as we can, insofar as we can, with the political realities we are given, the deck that, you know, the deck that we're given right now. It's the way it is. We have two candidates. That are, one of them's going to be president. We know it.
Abortion is front and center. Biden wants to kill him. Trump wants to protect him. Come on in, Zipher. Alan Zipher, come on.
Hey, Coach, do you think that the self-righteous or even worse the ones that's going to go ahead and vote for Biden? I mean, most of the biggest arguments I get in or debates on Facebook is with all these self-righteous individuals. They've all been exposed, man. That's one thing that God's done with Trump, is he's exposed all of these self-righteous and all the wicked that call themselves Christians.
Well, amen, Alan. And the truth is, as we're finding out, Joe Biden's far from righteous himself, isn't he? I mean, you even take away the abortion issue. He's far from righteous himself. Come on in, Mark. And anybody else wants to get in? Dale, go ahead. Yeah. Dale's down fighting the hurricane down there in New Orleans, so he made it through the night. Come on in, Dale.
Nah, brother, we fought the hurricane and we won.
All right,
brother. I appreciate you, Mark. You know, signs tell the truth, no doubt about it. When the enemy tells you that they don't work, that's a sure sign that they do work. There's no doubt about it. This thing about vote, you know, I voted for Tom Hoeffling. I was a Louisiana chairperson for him in 2016, and I'm voting for Donald Trump. The reason why is I left the Republican Party and the lies, because let's go back and look at that first issue, the Supreme Court. It has been a Republican Supreme Court for over 40 years. So therefore, that doesn't work. So I walked away from I didn't walk away from the Republican Party. They walked away from me. Man, and I realize now, I'm humble enough to say, Donald Trump is not a politician. And he's trying to give the country back to the American people. So when I deal with the piety, and you know, Coach, I'm talking the pieties that you can't vote for Donald Trump if you're a Christian, blah, 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 blah. Some of these people who have been in churches, and some of them sat at big round tables, high positions in churches, who are now abolitionists, I ask them one question. Exactly what were you doing all of the years that you sat in the church until your eyes were open about abolitionists? I said, you did nothing. I said, but you refused to extend the grace of God unto Donald Trump, that you yourself was extended to. In other words, you've been a Christian for 20 years and you didn't lift a finger for the unborn. But now I'm grateful that God has opened your eyes. But now all of a sudden, because Donald Trump has been a president for 3.5 years, and I don't know if he's saved or not saved or what, but you don't want to extend him that grace. That sounds biblical to me. You better watch out.
Well, Dale, hang on a second. Was George W. Bush saved? Said he was. Was Obama saved?
Was
Poppy Bush saved? Was Clinton saved? What are you people talking about? Many of you voted for every one of those guys. Come on. Come on in.
Listen, let me just say something here. you know, we talk about voting for the lesser of two evils. It's not really about that. It's about lessening evil. A president, any politician, government is not meant to, they're not going to abolish evil. We know that, right? We can pass laws and make it things illegal, but we vote to lessen evil. We put fences around them, right? We just try to limit it. That's all we can really do. And Donald Trump will lessen evil. When it comes to the unborn, it's clear he'll lessen evil.
Area code 330. Come on in. No?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I've got a comment. I believe this, Coach. I don't think we're voting for that man or that person as much as we're voting on the altar that they're standing on, Coach. Mm-hmm. There's right. Donald Trump's not perfect, but he is on a righteous altar on the most part. Not totally, but there is right. Not one righteous thing on the altar that Biden's on. So we're not voting for that platform, that altar, almost more than we are right. The person anyway, Coach.
Amen.
That's exactly Amen. Right.
Exactly right. Folks, what else? This is me. I'm a one issue voter. I will not vote for it. If you vote for a man who will kill unborn children, how do you trust him in any other aspect of his life? If he will not protect the most innocent of all human beings, why do you think he's going to give you a square deal? That's why it is a drop dead thing for me, Mark. I will not vote. I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney claimed to be pro-life. Mitt Romney wasn't pro-life. I didn't vote for him, right? I voted for Alan Keyes. I voted for many third party candidates who I didn't believe that the Republican candidate was pro-life, and I couldn't cast a ballot for.
Yep.
We've never been in a situation like this, though, folks. We have never been in a situation where the future of our nation really, really hangs in the balance.
And hey, Coach?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you brought that aspect of a one-issue voter up because, you know, a lot of people, they get hung up on, you're letting pro-life just control your life and things like that. Well, hey, guess what? That's not a bad thing. But logically, if a candidate or a party or a group, if someone will not protect the little unborn baby's right to life, what on earth makes you think he will protect any other right you're supposed to have?
Amen, Larry. That's exactly my
point. Because it's the first and foundational right that the founders gave us. The right to life is the first and foundational right. All other rights flow from our right to life. And, you know, I always do this, Coach, because basically what we have, if you don't think you can vote for Trump, you're going to vote for Biden, you don't think abortion's as bad as it is. It's just that's all you don't believe it. You don't act like it. You don't live like it. Would we say this? What if a political party had a platform that it was okay to kill 5-year-olds? think about it. Yeah. Would we say, I don't like this guy. He's insensitive. He's kind of mean. You know, he's off-putting. You know, I can't identify with him because I'm an evangelical Christian and I love Jesus. But the other party supports killing 5-year-olds. We just don't think abortion's as bad as it is. And really, honestly, we're bigots too. We don't believe the unborn are equal to the born. We just don't believe the unborn are equal to the born.
No, your point is so on point because there's a lot of countries now, several countries that have political parties that say, hey, it's okay to kill 85-year-olds. It's okay to kill 79-year-olds that are really sick. And people have gone along with it.
Well, Larry, now wait a minute, Larry. I personally am not for that, but who am I to tell somebody else what they can do with their grandpa, right? Right? Who am I to tell?
Hey, listen, it may sound ludicrous, but that's where we're going.
That's where we are. Hey, Mark, I'm looking on that screen right now, and up there we have Unborn Black Lives Matter, the banner that you guys have been flying. What is your perspective, Mark, on this whole Black Lives Matter and how, first of all, it's a bunch of white people that are doing it, right? But how crazy they get when you simply change it to All Lives Matter. Black, what's your take on that, Mark? And when you flew this banner, Unborn Black Lives Matter, did you hear from BLM?
No, we were hoping to. I shared when you were incommunicado about this project Okay. That one of the goals was actually to goad them into suing us or trying to prevent us from actually flying and using the logo. As you can tell, we take the logo and we put Unborn at the top because everybody uses Black Lives Matter for whatever they wish and they don't care. But when you identify it with the unborn, then they begin to care because they're for abortion. They're a Marxist, as we know. This is all about, this is the Trojan horse to bring down America. I mean, that's all it is, right? And right. So, frankly, here's the thing, Joe. This is really interesting. We were handing these out at the early fraud center yesterday. African Americans don't disagree with us.
Huh. But it's not important.
They agree with us. No, they say you're right. They're pro-life. Most African Americans are pro-life. I'm sorry. It's the white, millennial, Gen Z, you know, college educated. They're the ones who don't like us.
Amen.
They don't like this comparison.
So, Mark, so this weekend we're going to have some BLM signs as well, and it means Biden's laptop matters. That's what we're going to do. Hey, Mark, listen, let's take a couple minutes here because we've been talking a lot here on our show. Folks, Mark Harrington, director of Created Equal, createdequal.org, is our guest here this morning. A lot of great stuff, a lot of great work that they're doing. Mark, just take us and give us about a five-minute lesson on the lies of abortion. The pro-choice people, what are the lies that they are telling, Mark, that is enabling them to advance their cause so powerfully?
Well, it's all deception. I use the acronym SLED. And if you have a piece of paper and pencil, maybe you've already heard this, but it's pretty simple. We don't treat the born or the unborn like the born. We don't consider them as equal value. For some reason, we say, oh, well, you know, they're, and this is the acronym. It's SLED, S-L-E-D. And this is why we don't do it. We say that their size, they're smaller than us. Therefore, they don't deserve the right to life.
So the S in SLED is size. Because size. They're not big, they don't
right.
deserve the
They're not like thing. Us. They don't look like us. You know, they're not big, whatever. You know, Planned Parenthood says that they're the baby's as big as a grain of rice. Well, you know, what do we expect them to be? You know, just all of a sudden appear as an adult? I mean, that's just, it's bigotry. It's discrimination based on age.
Size.
All this is. So size, level of development. They're just not as developed as we are. This is true. That's L. We don't, you know, obviously we say, well, that's true, but is that what's value giving? Our development, our level of development? That means that if we can read Shakespeare, we're more developed than those in the unborn or who are yet born. No, it has nothing to do with it. It's irrelevant. We are image bearers of God, given intrinsic value because of who we are, because we're human. And then we have E.
So that's hang on environment. A second, Mark. Hang on a second. So the idea that the level of development, a baby that is 6 months outside the womb is right. not as valuable as me at 68 years old. So we're all continually growing and continuing to develop. And the truth of the matter is those poor little babies who all they can do is suck their mommy's bosom and get milk, they are not as valuable, as important as Mark Harrington. That's the argument, right, Mark?
That's exactly right. We you know, arbitrarily assign value to born people rather than Mark. Unborn children, and it ought to be on an equal playing field.
Mark?
Okay.
So, let me finish. So size, level development, environment. Environment's easy. The baby's not inside, you know. It's inside his mother's womb. Therefore, we have the right to take their lives. You know, we don't base our rights on where we reside. That makes no sense. You know, just because they're inside the mother's womb doesn't determine whether they should have protections for the right to life. It's not a woman's body. It's part of the woman's body. It's a separate, unique, individual human being made in the image of God. And then finally, dependency. They're dependent on their mothers to live. I mean, that's true of a one-year-old. That's true of a five-year-old. That's true of an 18-year-old, believe it or not.
38-year-old.
28-year-old. I'm still trying to figure out when my, you know, anyway, you understand that. So size, level, development, environment, and dependency, SLED, It's all about bigotry. It's bigotry towards the preborn because of their age. Discrimination. Yep.
Mark, on the level of development, I found a decent argument that sometimes actually makes a point. As I say, well, you agree with the laws that we shouldn't catch shrimp when they're carrying eggs around in their tails because we're ruining the future shrimp production. And they say, yeah. I say, okay, well, what's the difference?
That's good.
That's good. Hey, go ahead, Eric. Hey, Mike, hang on a second. Mike, see real quickly if you can find that sign we showed yesterday from OJ about how many people would be dead if his grandpa, see if you can dig that up for me, Mike, because I don't know if Mark's ever seen it. Go ahead, Eric, 301. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
A prostitute that will do a sexual act for $100 and a prostitute that will do a sexual act for $100,000. What's the difference? It's just the price, right? But at the end of the day, they're both prostitutes. A human being is a human being at conception.
That's right.
Exactly right. And a human being is a human being until they draw their last breath on earth.
But Mark, they've also told us this, right, Mark? I learned this again, folks, from Mark Harrington. In order to kill human beings, any human being, you have to dehumanize them. So right. they said the Nazis weren't human beings, and Hitler was able to kill Jews. I'm sorry. The Jews weren't human beings. And if they had been human beings, of course you couldn't kill them, but they weren't human beings. They said blacks weren't human beings. If they were human beings, you couldn't lynch them, but they weren't human beings. So it's the same argument then that they use for the preborn. The preborn aren't human beings, because if they were human beings, then they would demand to be protected. Right, Mark?
That's exactly right. Very convenient for us who are born to say we're human beings, but they're not.
Yep.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Roger.
Hey, Mark, real quick, within the black church, and you don't hear anything from the black pulpit. You know, we know the white church, we don't hear anything either, but there seems to be a genocide going on in the black community, but in the black church, which many times is vibrant, you just don't hear this discussion at all.
You don't, but I think things are changing. I don't know if you've been following it, Kanye West. I'm telling you what, that guy has busted through the wall. There is something happening in the African-American community in the church right now, I think. And we're going to see that in this election.
Do you remember the numbers for
Trump are going to blow their people's minds.
Mark, do you remember how much fun they made of Kanye, that he wasn't a real Christian? Oh, remember that? We're so judgmental. Hey Mark.
God, if only half of us were like him.
Yeah. Up on the screen, Mark, I don't know if you've seen this. One of our good friends, OJ Eastwood, his granddaughter made this sign. And we take this sign everywhere we go. If grandpa had died, if they'd aborted his grandpa, one man, four grandkids, 14 great-grandkids, 39 great-grands, 12 great, unbelievable, one abortion. See, and Mark, we call it a blob of tissue. It's not a human being. And the reality is, if O.J. Eastwood had, if he had been killed, 70 people would not be here today. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It'd be a different country.
Area code 330. No? Someone's got their phone up. That's what I'm looking at. Anybody want to come in?
Hey, Mark.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Jeff Klein here up in Mount Vernon.
Hey, Jeff.
We just wanted to say we appreciate the job you're doing with all them kids. And if anybody's never got to get out there and meet them kids in the streets, them kids are great. We recently called your office there. My buddy Ricky Miller goes over there to Whitehall every Tuesday for the last 4 or 5 years. There's a little group of them over there. Me and Ricky was asking the other day, and we called your office to talk to a couple of the kids. Are you going to put, in the collection of signs we have for the street ministry, are you going to put one out on the street sign for us to hold with the unborn Black Lives Matter? We've just wondered. We'd like to order a couple of them if you do.
Yes, we are. We just haven't got around to making them up. But listen, that issue isn't going away. It's not something we felt it had to be urgently made for the election. But we already have the postcards and the airplane banners, and we're going to build it on. We're going to put it on the side of the truck. We're going to have the normal 4x3, sandwich board type signs. So yes, it's in the works, brother.
Mark, we got about
we'll let six, you know when we get them.
We got about 6 minutes left here. Can you real briefly cover the black abortion statistics? I mean, not exactly, but give us.
Yeah, I already did, Coach. 13%, 38% of all abortions. 13% of the population, 38% of all.
No, no. It's only 7% of the women, right?
Well, that's true.
7% of the women are having how many? 30%?
38% of all the abortions are to black women.
Hey, Mark, if 38% of people who ate Kentucky Fried Chicken and died were black people, I wonder if they would still be selling Kentucky Fried Chicken. What do you think?
Well, and, you know, they're talking about how the COVID affects African Americans disproportionately. They care about that, but they don't care about killing their own. It's unreal.
Mark, yes. Do you think we'd have an immigration problem if we had 60 million more people running around here?
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't have a deficit problem either.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot more people paying into the system, and our situation as far as our national debt would be a whole lot different. Social Security, all those things would be all firmed up.
Okay, Mark, put on your prognosticating glasses here real quickly.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like on Wednesday after the election?
You're going to ask me that. Well, I think Trump's going to win.
But then what? Then what? Are we going to know it on Wednesday?
No, I don't think so. I think that unless he and people are predicting landslide, I don't think we're going to see that. But unless he just it's totally a blowout, which is like, you know, like the Ronald Reagan landslide. I think it'll be going to be close. I think Trump wins. I think the Democrats have already said they don't even if Trump wins, they're going to dispute the election. So we already know that. Right.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
This is going to carry on for days and weeks, maybe afterwards. But that's my call. Now, of course, if he wins convincingly, maybe they'll have to eat some humble pie and admit to it. But I just don't see it happening. The other thing is here's the other thing. They are not going to close the polls at 7 o'clock in a lot of these states. They're not going to do it. The numbers are going to be the numbers are off the charts right now. 75 million Americans have voted already. Think of that. That's half. That's more than almost half of all that voted in 2016.
And you know, Mark, one of the real stretches, reaches that they're making right now is they are assuming that every Democrat who shows up to vote is voting for Biden. And that's just not the truth. That's just not the truth. There are a lot of Democrats who are standing up because they're tired of the crap as well. They're tired of it as well, right? So,
well, I love that. I love that the flag that says no more BS. I love that one.
Yeah,
that's the perfect slogan for Donald Trump.
Okay, so Mark, real quickly here.
Number
one, how can people help support what it is that you guys do financially? How do they do that? Where do they find more information? And Mark, you have signs created equal signs in New Zealand. We got a Salt Ride Brigade group
around
of guys
the world.
In New Zealand, and your banners, your signs are in New Zealand. If somebody's watching right now, Mark, and they would like to purchase some of those signs that you have. They do that, Mark.
Well, Jared, go to the store. Just go to createdequal.org. There's a icon there to click on for the store. All the signs that we use, banners, overpass banners, all of them are there. There are abortion victim signs. We also have prenatal development signs. We actually have the abortion pill signs, which you have to use if you're in front of an abortion center, because 40% of all abortions are done by pill abortions now.
Wow.
You can get those. We just sell them at cost. We don't make any money on them. So go there. If you want to help us financially, feel free. createdequal.org. You can give online.
That's where we have to have Lexi on. We haven't had her in a while.
You need her on. She's a gem.
Yeah, like 3 years she's been doing it.
Well, Vanny and all the others. You've helped bring a few of them into our team here. So, yes, Coach, I appreciate it.
It's because we agree. Listen, folks. You cannot have a memorial to the preborn. Can you imagine having a funeral and not even a picture of the person there that died? No pictures at all of him? None? And so if images didn't work, they wouldn't have TV commercials. Right? Come on, man. Wake up. So some of you soft-hearted women out there and people say, oh, I just can't stand the image. Because, Mark, here's the debate, right? Oh, man, I wish we had more time. Mark, women, listen, I'm just going to say it. You don't have to agree. Women who kill babies are not victims, Mark. They're not victims.
Most of them aren't.
They're not victims. They know full well what it is that they're doing. They slept with a man, got pregnant when they didn't want to, and they decided to kill the baby as a result. Folks, I can't go kill somebody because I was a victim. They stole my tire out of my car. I can't go do that, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are a victim, well, you're all with me. Hey, Mark, God bless you, man. I'm sorry about the problems we had at the beginning.
Yeah, no problem. I understand.
Appreciate you. We're going to D.C. this weekend. You know that, Mark. We got a crew of us. We're going to go visit some of those political miscreants over there in D.C. and raise up a standard. I learned it from you. We're going to take signs. We're going to take banners. We're going to stand up for the truth. And we got to come out of hiding, folks. No more hiding. Come out, brother.
This is the time to fight. We got to run hard to Election Day and beyond, brother.
You got to finish it, man. Finish it. Christ finished it. We got to finish it. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being with us, Mark. We'll see you all tomorrow. Man.